Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
Our podcast might contain the occasional mild swear word or adult theme. Hello, I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett. Welcome to Dish from Waitrose, where we have food.
Yes, chef.
Drinks.
Yes, chef.
And great guests.
Yes, chef. And me, chef.
Yes, Nick. Come on, let's go.
Right, what are we making, by the way?
Today we're making a fantastic steak. We've got a lovely sirloin steak there. We're going to do polenta with it and mojo verde sauce. So mojo sauce, which is basically a lovely equivalent of a coriander salsa verde. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pick all that coriander into here.
Yeah.
We're going to blend it all up. We're going to add a little bit of some lovely olive oil. Let's get the fancy stuff.
I quite like that one as well, though.
Yeah, we can put a few cloves of garlic. Mm-hmm. I'll get those in for you.
Mojo verde.
Mojo verde. Right. Do we have to do that? Have we put any oil in?
Yeah, I have put a bit more in it. What's the other green sauce that I can't even think of?
Salsa verde.
Salsa verde. I'd never heard of that until I came to London and I went round to one of my friend's houses who's rich.
Yeah.
And a kid came home from school, I was like 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, how was school? She was like, it was fantastic. We learned how to make a salsa verde. And I was like, a what? She's like, it's a green sauce you enjoy with steaks. I was like, okay, great. Should we try some of that other oil?
Yeah, let's mix it up.
This is the one that I like because it's got my name on it.
Has it?
Yeah, Nicholas Aliziari.
Oh, very nice.
So steak, love nothing more than going to a restaurant and getting a steak.
Yeah.
Never tastes like that in my house. Why?
Do you cook it straight from the fridge?
No, I try and keep it room temperature.
Yeah, so room temperature. Mm-hmm. Bring it up, you know, let it come up to room temperature so and allow the muscles to rest. Nice hot pan. I do. I put a tiny little bit of oil and then I put butter. And really high heat, colour it around all sides so it's lovely, beautifully caramelised. Take it out of the pan, let it rest. I think people don't let their meat rest enough.
So you let it rest. I always try and do this for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, it depends how big the steak is, you know.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you've got a ribeye that's like a double 500 grams, you've got to rest it for at least half an hour.
So can you let it rest with like a little tinfoil tent on it?
Yeah, but slightly, but I think the tinfoil tent is then causing steam.
It makes it sweaty.
And also it's cooking it more. That's the whole point, yeah. You see.
And then do you put oil in the pan? Because what I do oil the meat.
No, I never oil the meat. No, I just put a tiny bit of oil in the pan and then I go butter and then I go foaming butter so it starts to really go nice and brown and caramelised. And that's quite an old school way of doing it.
I love it.
I'm sure there's loads of people will do it slightly differently.
What steak do you like?
I like the rump steak actually. Yeah. Rump, yeah.
Today, Angela, we welcome the comedian who Dawn French calls the third funniest woman in the world. She is a massive foodie, she hates Twitter, and plans to save mankind on her next show. Insert rapturous applause, please, for Jade Adams, everybody. Hi, Jade. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming to see us.
I mean, this is an absolute dream. Come on.
What, steak for breakfast?
Yeah, babes.
Yeah. First and best steak. When I ran into Jade just outside.
Yeah.
Jade, you were a bit emotional, weren't you?
So just what you need to know is when I was told that you were cooking me steak, I got emotional.
Did you?
My eyes, I filled
Meat's
up.
Meat's your thing though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You like
that? I like you.
I like me.
Have you ever cried at meat, Angela?
Not going there.
Yes, girl.
Jade, we're so happy you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. What is my life?
Come on.
I grew up on Arctic Roll.
And living now look Angela Hartnett cooking for you. So we have some drinks for you. As is standard when you have your dinner, we like to have a lovely drink. Now, we've gone for ciders because we've heard this is a stereotype that you don't mind about yourself.
Do you know what? Cider's a great drink and I'm happy to drink it.
So we've got two ciders for you, Jade. We have like a more budget can.
Thatcher's Gold?
Thatcher's Gold. Or we have like a posh one because cider's had a bit of a...
Cidre.
Is it having a little renaissance?
It is, but aren't we all?
Yeah. We all are. I'll be honest with you. I know that Bristol would really like me to pick up that can of Thatcher's Gold and be like, ooh-ar!
Yeah.
But I have a more refined palate.
Oh, let's
and I've been to London.
I've been to London and I want the posh bottle.
Okay, let's
I know
the
what
posh
that
one.
Tastes like, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
That it's came fun. Out of my mother's breast.
That's how cider's made. This one is from the Waitrose Farm. The Leckford Estate, which I think they should let me and Angela stay at whenever we want, if I'm honest.
Don't you?
Are they not?
Imagine if I had texted you, Jade. Hey, Waitrose have given us the farm for the weekend.
Oh, babe, we'd have such a good time.
Steak and cider for brekkie. How often do you have a cider? Because I only have a cider on the Saturday and Sunday of Glastonbury.
So I know some people like to drink the same drink all night long, but I'm built like a very rude word I shouldn't say on a Waitrose podcast. So I like to have it like a bit later on when I'm feeling dry because I've had loads of dry wine and then I like a really sweet cider to just like sort of set. It's like dessert alcohol,
yeah.
isn't
yeah.
it? Basically, drinking for me is like I'm sat having a meal. So I'll start with Negronis, then I'll go into my wines, then I'll have like an espresso martini at the end, and then I'm having a cider.
Love. It's the way to do it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Mm-mm. Mm. I bet Waitrose love those noises.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That is lovely.
That is delicious.
It's good, isn't it?
Really good.
It's quite smooth.
Yeah, it's not that fizzy either.
Feels like apple juice. Doesn't feel bad at all.
That could quite easily set me off. That tastes nice this morning.
What day of the week is it?
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Anyway, we have so much to talk about with you, Jade.
Yes.
We're dead excited you're on because we love your comedy, but also we love the fact that you're a massive foodie. You're a big food fan.
I love my food.
How do you feel about Angela Hartnett, OBE, MBE, cooking for you today?
So just full disclosure, I knew where I was coming, I knew what was happening. I wasn't fully aware that I would have steak made for me by Angela. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, when I was putting my lipstick on, my eyeballs filled with water. And one of the runners went, are you okay? it was quite an emotional experience. Aww. For me. I used to live with a chef that used to work for you.
Who?
Jess Simmons.
Oh, yeah. She's just had a baby.
She's just had a baby, yes. And she's now doing wonderful things at Dispatch,
yes,
as well.
Yeah.
So I used to live with her it was the best house I ever lived in. It was for us four girls, and we had a great time for 2 years, but Jess was developing her menu for her new restaurant.
That's
and I got
right, yeah.
to be the person she tested
wow.
it on.
Nice.
And the whole time we were there, we'd speak about you, and
oh,
she sort
her.
Of really was my education into... expanding my horizons when it came to eating, and she's the one that sort of really has made me a better cook. So essentially, you know, like in Star Wars, when you have like you have like Emperor Palpatine, Darth Vader, and then I don't know, Anakin Skywalker. No, that is Darth Vader. Sorry, Star Wars fans. Whatever the line is, essentially, I've been taught how to cook scrambled eggs by you. So.
Oh, okay, got you. Here's to that,
babes.
Yes, good,
fam. It's bled into you.
Yeah.
It's bled into you because we know that you love going to restaurants. Don't you like save up money? Like, and your splurges, not like a handbag or a shoe, it's like an amazing, one of the best restaurants in the world.
I spend all of my money on going to, and if you said to me, what's your favourite meal? So people would be like, I like a roast dinner, or I like this. I'll be like a 7-course tasting menu.
Yeah,
with wine.
With a wine pairing, 100%. And the day I learned about separating what flavour is rather than just tasting it all as one big clump in my mouth, which is essentially what I grew up doing, the day someone explained to me how you separate those flavours and you think about it was a day that I was just opened up to this like explosion in my mouth. So when I eat now, it's not just like, oh, I'm eating this or I'm eating that. It's like when I went to university and someone took a sort of script and taught me how to like pull it apart in a sort of in a sort of clever way. That's what someone did with me with eating.
Yeah.
And actually, as someone who I will admit has used food as a way to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
But the day someone like sort of made food better for me, I was like, actually, I don't have to feel guilty about how much I eat now, because now I'm like, whenever I'm cooking for myself as well, I just try something new. Like, I nearly gave my parents gout at Christmas. I mean, food is just everything to me.
Is there somewhere where you've gone to, like a holiday specifically for a restaurant?
So I went to Japan. I mean, sorry, babes. she's doing well. And me and my friend who I went with, we didn't want to just go to the places everyone went to. We wanted to go off the beaten track and find all of these little quirky places that everyone's like, this is where they do the best tempura. Yeah. This is where you're going to have the best sushi. So that's what we did over the holiday. Wow. Yeah. There was one place we went to, which was called Nerima or Nerima. And when we got there, we were walking around. We just got off of the train and we were like, we're in Japan. And two Japanese people came over and they were like, oh, are you from England? And we were like, yeah, we are. We're really excited. My friend was like, I'm Welsh. And I was like, not now. And they said to me, they were like, oh, how long are you staying? We're like, 3 weeks, and we're so excited. And they literally went to us, why are you here? I think we basically turned up to the Swindon of Japan.
Why here?
Why this place? Yeah. Because we'd found one, there was like a thing we'd found online. Someone said, find this place. It does the best fish sandwiches in the whole of Japan. And we were like, that's worth going there for. So I will travel to somewhere random in order to find something that someone has said is incredible.
That's what I do. We were in Israel, Neil and I, and I made him walk up this massive hill at like midday, blistering sun, to taste the best hummus that Yotam had told me to go to. And he was like, it's hummus. Are you frigging kidding me? I said, no, because Yotam Ostalengi said, so we're going, Neil. Let's go. But I'm like that. I love it. And you book your holidays around the food.
Yes.
Right, I'm getting steak for you now.
Speaking of food...
Yeah, I'm on
We're
it.
We're starving.
All right, on it.
Do you remember when Delia Smith kept calling hummus?
Hummus.
And Harry Hill kept going, who? Hummus? And she was like, hummus. And the comment is so silly.
Well, it's that. I mean, I think the new hummus is must be Nigella going microwave.
Microwave.
I can't get past... When that happened, I couldn't move for her saying microwave. Mm-hmm. We should do it today. Come up with a different way to say something and this will go nuts.
Yeah. How could we give like a microwave to Waitrose?
I've got one here. So I've bought you a present. Oh, and yeah. I mean, this is like, I don't even know how you say this, but apparently I add too many R's in when I say it, but the present I've bought for you today is shrerashra.
Sriracha.
This is a hard thing to say when you got this accent. Shrerashra. It's got an R after the S. You're meant to say it, I'm sure.
Sriracha.
Yeah.
Oh, I say sriracha. What Shrek will be?
So this sauce is the reason why. So I didn't ever eat anything spicy, chili, even pepper. I didn't even put it in my food for years. And then I noticed that other people, especially because I worked as a waitress for like 15 years before I could be a comedian, because I'm not related to anyone. So I had to do it the old-fashioned way, which is get a job, find it really irritating serving people, and then get funny because I was like going in the kitchen and slagging off the customers to the chefs. But I noticed that I was missing an entire portion of my like culinary experience because I couldn't have anything spicy or chili. And I was like, there must be something cool about it because other people are doing it. So I just basically trained myself to like spicy food, and that's the sauce I did it with.
Was that your introduction sauce?
Yeah.
I love a bit of sriracha.
Sriracha. I don't want to like cause a surge via Waitrose customers to go and buy this stuff, but they are running out of the chilies that make it because of climate change, babes.
No! And I knew climate change was bad. Wow, Angela. So, talk us through what we've got.
So we've got a sirloin steak that I've just roasted in loads of butter, nicely caramelised. Then we've got the mojo sauce here, which is like a coriander salsa verde. So coriander, spring onions, a little vinegar, olive oil and garlic. And controversially, but I think it works, we've got polenta instead of like mash with loads of butter and then loads of grated parmesan on top.
I love polenta.
Do you?
Especially with a steak, because...
Oh. See, I've never had it with a steak before, but I thought I'd just try it.
Well, polenta chips I've had with a steak before, yeah. And what I really liked about it was, because the steak should be the star of the show,
yeah.
Sometimes potatoes can take over from a steak. So, like, say you have, like, really layered, like, you know those, like, it's a TikTok, the 15-hour potato, but it's really called
fondant potato.
So if you have, like, a fondant potato and it takes so much time, you're like, oh, my God, I care more about my potato than I do the steak, and it should never be like that.
Yeah, it's like you need a few boring people in the girl group.
Yes, babe!
Right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Hashtag pussycat dolls.
Yeah. So the steak's the Nicole, and then the polenta's the rest. Should I serve you a bit of this polenta?
Yeah, so how would one...
Just go for it.
Plop on the...
Plop it.
And then a dip, is it?
Yeah, no, yeah, and then you've got that, like your mustard.
All right, great, okay.
Right, come on, pass us your plate, Ange. Yeah. Here we go.
I'll put a plop on your plate. Yep.
So this salsa verde...
The mojo sauce,
I managed to whack in a blender and do... Very proud of myself. I did do the blending.
I've never seen a better blended salsa verde in my life.
Thank you so much. And if you want to learn how to blend, you can find that and all the recipes we do on the podcast on waitrose.com/dishrecipes, which we find really hard to say every week. Dish recipes.
Dish recipes. It's like shirasha.
Dish recipes. So let's get stuck in. Let's try Angela's meat.
And then there's a rarer there if you want it even more rare.
I love it rare. How do you like it?
I like it. I'm a bit medium rare, which is what I've probably done all these. But if you want it more rare.
Oh.
Cheers.
When I eat food like this, I know I could be single for the rest of my life.
Do you have an eating companion, I suppose? Do you go with the same restaurants or...
I don't go with the same people. I really mix it up.
Right.
Okay. I have people that know that I'm really into it. So everyone's really getting into, like, I think people who... aren't as how do I put this, wealthy as me, all the cooking programs on the television have really expanded people's horizons, and like going to restaurants like they would go to see The Lion King, you know. I think there's been a real change, especially over the pandemic. The pandemic for me, when I was locked in a house and I could only order stuff off of that big online shopping page.
Waitrose.com.
Yeah. It basically revolutionised my culinary skills because I had so much time to practice.
Mm.
I was living with two people and they were very, very up for trying out all the stuff I was making.
Yeah.
I remember I did Italian bombolini, which is basically like donuts but with like lemon in the... Angela knows. I don't want to teach my mother to suck lemons, but...
I love the fact you're so adventurous. Like, you'll just try new stuff.
Oh, I love failing. I don't love it.
No,
but
you don't mind it.
I will handle it. It's comedy. The only way you can get good at stand-up comedy is by being rubbish.
Yeah.
You can't get good if you're just good all the time and your audience loves you all the time. You have to be... So I'm in the preview season at the moment of this new show, Men I Can Save You.
Sorry to say that title again. Men,
Men I Can Save You.
Yes.
Amazing title.
And if I was doing this 3 days ago, if you'd have spoken to me, I wanted to quit everything and be a chef. Yeah.
Okay.
There is always that stage when I'm making new work where I'm like, I want to just give it up and just cook. That's all I want to do.
What is it that like drags you back in? What is the thing that makes you think, do you know what? I will go and do a Chelmsford.
The audience.
Yeah.
It's always them.
Sure.
And if they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And my whole job is to work out what they want from me.
Yeah.
And I've done that through like 10 years of working really hard at it. I'm not even into comedy. People are always like, what stand-up do you like? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
No.
I like Buffy and Ozarks. That's all I watch.
Nick, what are we drinking?
Gone for a Malbec. Great with a steak.
Fabulous.
Have you always enjoyed a red wine, Jade?
No.
Absolutely
hated it until I did Crazy Delicious with Heston Blumenthal, Nicholas Eckstedt, and Carla Hoare, who's an American chef. And I did that, and...
That was nuts, that show.
Yeah, it's crazy, babe.
Nuts.
Absolutely crazy. So every night I got to eat with Heston Blumenthal. And I'm going to tell you now that you never see a restaurant panic more than when you walk in with Heston or probably Angela. There was one night he invited me out for dinner in this place in Mayfair. And at the end of it, I remember getting out my lowly little debit card to try and like, I just always offer, you know.
Yeah, nice to offer.
And one of his people just put his hand down and went, you're with the mafia now. But Heston, we were eating, he said to me, oh, I've noticed you don't drink red wine. Why is that? And I said, I don't like the flavour of it. And he was like, look, I'll do this thing with you. He says, your negativity about drinking red wine is the reason you don't like red wine.
Right.
And he did this like little test with me where he like drew a picture of a cloud on one bit of paper, and on the other bit he drew a spiky object. And he made me stare at these things whilst drinking it. And I'm telling you what, it completely changed the way it tastes. And he said, basically, when you start drinking red wine, if you start thinking positively about the red wine and think about what's in it and flavours and the grapes and everything, he said, your experience of drinking it's going to change. But I'd always gone, bleh, I hate red wine.
Yeah.
Because I've never liked it before. I also had a very bad experience when I was 19 on red wine where I projectile vomited into someone's gravy boat. So
we've all had those.
We've all been there.
Mine was
sick
tequila.
Off red wine is traumatic as
it's
well.
It's so yeah, traumatic.
It's just the red.
It's the red. It's giving exorcist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite carry. I remember that you texted me.
Oh yeah, go on. What did I say?
Let me have a look. It's so funny, this.
Oh God.
When we went to the British Fashion Awards, right? It's a massive party at the Royal Albert Hall and everyone wears quite ridiculous outfits, you know? You had a fantastic giant hat on, big as this table.
Yeah, it was huge. A big feathered moon hat made by Noel Stewart.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, afterwards, everyone's got these outfits on, so everyone wants a party.
Yeah.
So I ran into Jade and we were chatting and I said, we're going to go to this party at this place. So Jade was like, right, I'll text you, I'll come. I said, great. I got a text. 2:38 a.m. It's Jade Adams. Chilton, is it, babe? And I said, yes, come. And then Jade said, oh, these are all separate. We're coming. Can you get us in? To be fair, this hat will get me in. We're here. Hang on, Sophie's trying to put a shoe on. And then I'll be in. And then the final message, I'm in. Over the course of an hour, she eventually got in at 3:26 a.m. I'm in.
We were invited to the British Fashion Awards, but we couldn't get down to the middle bit where everyone was. It was the Royal Albert Hall. I've performed in that building. Yeah. I know it. Let's get up in a service elevator. I'm getting us down there. So we go up in the service elevator. We go around because it's all in a round. And then we come down to just outside of the door. And then we need a specific wristband. I was like, I'll find someone I know. Lo and behold, someone I know called Tom Taylor walks out. He's like, hi, babes. And I was like, hey. I was like, we're just trying to get in there. He was like, oh, just get in the middle of our group. We basically all night long, Sophie Willen and I got into every party we weren't invited to, including the Ralph Lauren party. We stood outside for 20 minutes. And she turned to me and she was like, babe, don't worry. I'm quietly confident. I'm just going to give her human eyes for 20 minutes. She'll let us in. And then basically she stood and stared at this woman and was like, come on, babe, let us in. I've got a BAFTA.
Like the face you do when you need a drink at the bar. Like,
help. Babes, come on.
Yeah, come on, please.
And then the hat got me into the Chilton Fire Ice, babe. Where
that hat gets you anywhere.
Literally. Hats do that. People just, like, I'm wearing one today. People think you're somebody when you've got a big old hat on, babe.
Let her in, she's got hats on. August is, of course, big month for comedy because Edinburgh. How do you feel about going to Edinburgh? Do you go every year?
I went for 9 years in a row and then the pandemic happened and I had 2 years off and I felt absolutely fantastic about having that off. It is a massive stress going up there. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult. It's quite intense on that old mental health. It's relentless. It's every day for an entire month. And I don't take any nights off.
Have I imagined this? When I've been to them before, we give money at the end.
Yeah. So for the first 5 years, I was on what you were experiencing, the free fringe.
I like those ones. And I'm the generous one who's like throwing the 20s out. Here you go. God, you're a comedian.
Angela's like Buff Daddy in the 90s at the Edinburgh Festival.
In 2019, I did a show called Serious Black Jumper, or The Ballad of Kylie Jenner's Old Face, as it used to be called. until my agents were like, you're going to get sued.
Jumper it is.
And I convinced everyone in the industry that I was clever by wearing a black turtleneck.
Right.
So for this year, I was like, well, what will happen if I dress like Jesus for a year? So I've been wearing nothing but cream and white for like a year.
Okay. Like that.
And this new show this year is about me stepping into the most comfortable place any self-respecting celebrity goes to, which is they're not just a presenter, they're not just a music person, they are also now a self-help guru. Because I don't know about you, but people who are suffering mental health issues definitely needs a comedian/actor to help them. So comedians / actors are always the best people for advice.
Then a therapist, if that doesn't work.
You don't want a therapist. You won't need a therapist after this show.
No, you don't need it.
So then I was thinking about who I would save if I was like a self-help guru. And I looked out into the world and I went, women don't need me. Other genders don't need me. Everyone's smashing it. Straight white guys. There is a real gap in the market there, babes. No one's helping them. And essentially, when I'm not joking, the show is about my own savior complex and codependency and about me breaking free of the constraints of the patriarchy. I hate that word. Yeah. But that's what the show is about. I'm the idiot in all the work I do. Mm-hmm. Audience aren't the idea. It's not me shouting at men about being bad people. Yeah. It's about me and my responsibility with that conversation.
Yeah. Do your parents go and watch your show?
Yeah, but not, this one's a bit saucy.
I was going to say, how do you feel about your parents being at your show?
So the other ones have been... Do you know what? There was this really beautiful moment. So in 2016, I wrote a show about my sister who died 11 years ago.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. It's life, isn't it? Yeah. But she died of a brain tumour and I did a show about her and about all... Like, because my sister, like everyone, when someone dies, everyone always wants to paint them as some sort of angel. And I'm like, you know, she was. And she was also the best sister ever. But she was a real person. And she was intense, babes. Yeah. But also very funny and did funny stuff. Like the amount of fights outside of kebab shops. And my mum's going to hate the fact that I'm talking about this. So my sister, my mum always says she was a great singer. And there was a video I recently watched where she was really good in it. But she sang on her wedding day to her husband. And she sang Marty McCutcheon's Perfect Moment.
Incredible. Aww.
And I don't know if she was nervous, but it basically sounded like, this is my moment. This is my perfect. And at the end of the show, I sing O Mio Bambino Caro, Puccini, and I tell a story about singing it to my mum. And I said, and this is a true story, because I was like, mum, listen to this. I just think I just learned how to sing this song. And I sang it to her in the living room, and this is like opera. Yeah. And I sing it at her, and my mum looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, your sister was always such a good singer.
Good luck with the show in Edinburgh. Yeah. We can't wait to see it. If you're there, make sure you go and check Jade out. Jade Adams, everybody. That really fun.
It was so great. Thank you so much. I'm loving this wine.
All the recipes and drinks can be found on the Waitrose website at waitrose.com/dish recipes. Dish recipes.
Dish recipes. Follow Dish from Waitrose wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends, tell your family, and why not leave us a review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
We can't all have a Michelin star chef in the kitchen, but you can get some Michelin star advice. Email your questions for Angela to dish@waitrose.co.uk.